Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
It really was a shocker in Oslo, Norway today. Never has an organization responsible for so much global anxiety been so celebrated for bringing peace to the world. The Nobel Peace Prize was today given to, drumroll please, the European Union.
Over a 70-year period, Germany and France had fought three wars. Today, war between Germany and France is unthinkable.
That's Thorbjørn Jagland making the announcement for the Nobel Committee today. Of course, people were saying war between France and Germany was unthinkable a century ago, and then World War I broke out, but let's not go there. There has been widespread reaction to the announcement, and monitoring it for us is BBC Berlin correspondent Stephen Evans. Stephen Evans, what do you think the Nobel Committee's message was here?
Very good question. I think they're trying to say that let's remember the history of this whole thing. This institution is met with skepticism because of the mess currently going on throughout the Eurozone and beyond. But it was formed when France and Germany had memories of war against each other fresh in their minds. And I think what the committee is trying to do is to say, let's remember the reason for the thing being formed in the first place. Having said all that, though, pretty well everybody gasped, I think that's the right word, gasped in wonderment when the announcement came out. People couldn't quite believe it. Let me quote you Reinhard Bütikofer, no less, who's a member of the European Parliament. He tweeted, EU gets Nobel Prize, please no. When they gave it to Obama, everything went downhill thereafter. And if you look on in cyberspace, amongst the Twitter community, or whatever you call it, there is a lot of incredulity. But the chattering classes, the political classes, the pro-European Union classes have greeted it with great joy. I think that's the right word for it.
And the Eurobond futures market is still stable at this moment, Steve, but you never know. So let's talk a little bit, though, on behalf of the Nobel Committee, just for a second. Do they have a point in the sense that the EU does peacekeeping as part of its agreement and as part of its functioning? Or is this just a purely symbolic gesture?
Well, I think it is. I think it's both. I mean, the answer to your first question is it doesn't. It conspicuously doesn't. It cannot. It does not have a united defense policy. Henry Kissinger once said, "If I want to know what European foreign policy is, I don't quite know what phone to ring." And it's because there isn't one. The European Union has these bureaucrats, unelected people in Brussels, conducting policy for the totality, but actually everybody knows that power is wielded in Berlin and Paris and London, and they can't get their act together. Or let me rephrase that: they don't get unity on how to use forces in Libya, for example. But I think the point that the prize-winning committee was saying is, don't forget that after the war, Germany had been the cause of two wars, and anything which bound Germany into Western Europe, therefore, was important for maintaining the peace in this bloodstained continent. That was the rationale way, way back. Now, you could argue, you could say, well, do you need what's currently happening in the EU now and in the Eurozone for all of that? Maybe you don't. And certainly skeptics in Britain are saying that. They're saying, look, you know, the idea that Germany and France were going to go to war without the EU, it simply wasn't going to happen. But that's what the prize-giving committee is saying. It's saying, let's remember this big historical context of the thing, and let's remember the history of this continent that I'm on, which is a history in the last century of the most awful bloodshed.
I gather the Nobel Committee doesn't take its holidays in Athens, Greece, or in the Aegean, because there's not a lot of dancing in the streets down there over this.
Absolutely not. I've been following the tweets in Germany, and a lot of people say, well, what do they make of this in Southern Europe? Maybe they deserve it there, but the EU, that's what they're saying in Twitterland. Yeah. The current situation, I don't think anybody could describe the current situation as peaceful and ideal. And I suppose the argument is that actually the current policy within the Eurozone is causing certainly tensions about democracy in Greece and disharmony and the rise of nationalism. We had Chancellor Merkel in Greece within the last week, and there were demonstrators on the streets mimicking her goose-stepping and with the swastika everywhere. It is hard to see how the current situation within the European Union can be described as harmonious. You're absolutely right. And, you know, there will be criticism of the Nobel Prize Committee for this. There's already, or journalists are already starting to say, you know, what's going on here? What on earth is going on here? You know, in newsrooms in Germany, people, I know, were saying, what on earth are they doing now? And then the reminder comes from the political class, this isn't about now, it's about the past, it's about the institution which bound enemies, ancient enemies together.
So, Steve Evans, I guess the takeaway is the EU might be able to win a Nobel Prize for peace, but not for chemistry, not for chemistry based on the way people are getting along over there. You do have the Ryder Cup, though.
That's right, we do. And what matters more? You know, would you rather win a Nobel Peace Prize or the Ryder Cup? Come on, there's only one answer.
Steve Evans, the BBC correspondent in Berlin, reacting to the news that the EU is the winner of this year's Nobel Peace Prize. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.